quick intro to part two here. Again, this is part two of a two-parter. If you're just finding this for some reason, go check out part one. But we're going to hear more from Nick Daly here, and we're going to kick it off with a song that he did with Eric Chase, For Willa Ford. We just dive in and hear a little sample of that and then get back into the interview with Nick Daly. This is the Willa Ford song. You guys, you collaborated with Chase on a I guess it was a remix of the song, right?
Yeah, Willa was living in Tampa at the time, and she had to commission a couple of people to do a remix for a song called A Toast to Men. And she had not gotten the vibe that she wanted, which was this kind of calypso Caribbean almost feel, but still with a dance focus. And so a friend of ours brought her over to the studio, and she asked if we would do a remix, and we said, yeah, why not? So we spent a couple of months doing a remix for her, and I think it turned out pretty cool.
Slept with too early boys with straight boys with curvy boys locked up in the thing at boys in hotels, motels, holiday inns. All this talk about men is ridiculous. The men, let's drink to us.
Here's to the men we love to love. Here's to the men we love to love. Here's to the men who pass on us.
And so there it is, a sample of that. I love that track. You sent that to me before the interview. I checked it out. I was like, man, that's a legit, I mean, like a top 10 song, I think.
I think that was the reason that we kind of took the song, was because we kind of liked the feel. But the original was mixed by somebody overseas, and they have a totally different style over there. And so we just, we didn't think the bass was bad enough, and we didn't think the vocals were strong enough. And, you know, it was just, and Willa gave us complete freedom to do what we wanted to do.
Well, let me jump in, because I'm really fascinated by this. So everybody just heard that track. There's that guitar thing going on. Like you said, the real, just that hammering beat. And then it does feel very, that's the wrong word. I was going to say electronic. I think that's the wrong word. It feels like you've got organic instruments, but then you've also run it through computers and stuff.
There's a live bass going on in there on one of the tracks, and then underneath that bass there's kind of this nasty, grungy synthesized bass that just kind of helps give it the weight.
Yeah, I think that's what I was referring to. Yeah, the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys do? How does that work? Like, how much of that did you actually, as a musician play or compose, and how much did you take from her, and then what were your different tasks on that?
Well, we got the session from the label that they gave us a multi-part session. And so we had everything out in stems. So we had guitar stems, and then we had the bass, and then we had, they actually didn't give us any drums, but we got backing vocals and lead vocals, but some of them were mixed already.
Okay.
And we didn't have everything completely raw, but we had enough to make something new out of it. And so we just essentially, Eric went in, I believe, and played a little bit of live bass. He's a phenomenal musician, and I arranged some strings, some violins, and stuff like that in the for the chorus sections. Mm. But a lot of the stuff was stuff that they had already included, some of the synth lines and stuff like that. And we didn't actually really write anything new as far as the synth lines go, but we did actually take out their synth lines and play new ones.
Okay.
With a little bit of a beefier, maybe grungier sound.
And then when you're working with someone else on a project like that, I mean, do you guys just like trade seats every hour and you work on it? I mean, do you both have the session on your own and you do stuff and then you collab? You know, how does that work?
Yeah, in the beginning when we were trying to come up with a feel, what we would do is we had both of us had the session, but I would go in and I would program some drums with the lead vocals and then the chorus. And I would send the drums over in a mix out scenario, and Eric would listen to them, and he'd say, "Okay, cool, I like that drum pattern." And then he would say, "How about this?" And so he would send it back with maybe something that he had added to it or something he had edited. And then once we went through probably 15 or 16 different grooves before we actually found the one that worked well for this song.
Yeah.
And we just bounced them back and forth to each other until we really said, okay, this is where we're going to go. And then we laid it out in a single session. And Eric had the session and I had the session. And we both, when he was done working on a part, I kept the master session. He would send me the stems.
Yeah, it's really...
So that way we would have one session that was constantly updated. But if we needed to go in and solo something out, we both had the parts.
Yeah, that's cool. That just, I think there's a lot of, producer types are also, dabbling in other things. I just think it's really fun to hear a story like that. So now tell the bad part of the story.
Yeah, we had finished this. I think we spent probably 2 months working on it. And not constantly every day,
right?
Because we both were fairly busy at the time as well. But when we got ready to, when we finished the track, finalized it, we sent it to the label. They loved it. Willa came by and said she really liked it. And cool, we're going to deliver it to the label. Well, then, like, I don't know how long later, just a few weeks, it was really close. Her label dropped her.
Mm.
And it was just an economic pitfall, some bad stuff was going on at the time. So unfortunately, the song was never released.
So who owns that song then right now?
I imagine the record label does, because it was their parts, and we did submit it to them. So
yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. It was kind of a thank you for doing this work, but we're not going to be picking this. We're not going to be continuing our relationship.
Yeah, I know that that probably happens a lot in the music business, I'm sure, but it happens to you. It probably wasn't a great feeling, but
yeah, it's kind of like it was kind of like doing the biggest scale spec spot ever.
Yeah. But I bet you that's opened some doors for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, after that, we got a couple of offers to do some other tracks that we weren't able to do. But then there were a couple of little remixes here and there, and there was a little girl group, there was a girl group that never really made it out, and their label came to me at some point a couple of years later and said, for some reason, stations won't play this, and one of our program directors told us he would play it if you fixed it. And I said, well, I'll take a listen to it. And at first I said no, because I didn't like the song.
Yeah.
And then I said, the PD called me and I said, all right, I'll do it. And so I just kind of remixed it a little bit, but I didn't, do a lot to it, but they ended up playing it after that.
Well, that's
so
cool.
it was fun, but these things never paid money because you were already in radio. So if they wanted radio to play it, they just kind of saw it as hey, you do it for free.
Yeah, right. And if the station does it, or if the station's person does it, then they
have to play. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Let's dive into your voiceover work, because I know you've... In fact, let me tell you real quick. You did some work for MTV, right?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
My buddy Alan, I guess I won't say his last name, but anybody who knows me knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Okay.
But he's curious if you got paid for that job or those jobs.
I did, yes.
Okay, because he did some work in 07. They owe him a few thousand dollars, and he still hasn't been paid. So,
and that that sucks too, because it's you against this giant company,
right? And it's not just MTV with the parent company. Is it Viacom who owns
that? Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. It's tough. It's like, what do you do? Send him a letter. I'm very angry with you. Please pay
me. Right, pay me. And they're like, what do we owe you? A few cents.
They're like, who are you?
Yeah, we have no... I'm sorry. So, but was that at the time your biggest VO gig, or how's that been going for you?
Yeah, that pretty much was kind of the catalyst for me. They approached me somehow. I don't know. I still don't, to this day, don't know how they found me, but we did three episodes of this show called Get Schooled, and it was basically, they were just little mini documentaries on different genres of music, punk rock and and rap and stuff like that, and it was a lot of fun. I liked doing it, and I was of course I was really nervous, and but I had a lot of fun. And shortly after that, I got a call from John Wasser at Atlas Talent, and he was like, we'd be interested in talking to you. So that was kind of, until you have a big job like that, it's really hard to get in with an agency, and I had talked to another agency at the time also, but I wasn't really ready to sign.
Okay.
And I'm glad I didn't, because Atlas was really the place I wanted to be.
This weekend, single girls across the bay unite in an anti-Valentine's Day demonstration of
girl power.
Girls rock.
Strip down, get naked, and go behind the scenes.
Write them down, it's a crazy 88. It's on right now and it's all out of order.
Jolly to the A-C-K-E-R
Radio.
Once you go whack, you never go back.
Take a beat and loop it, man. You soundin' stupid, man. Take a beat and loop it, loop it, loop it, loop it, man. Oh, yeah.
It's feeding time on the Hit Music Highlands. The human has no idea it's being hunted. But in the distance, the distinct call of Joel Santana can be heard. It won't be long now before the other hits arrive.
Every woman has a little black dress.
Mine's red.
Except her.
And it has a hole in the crotch.
Gross.
Want to see it?
Not on your life.
People everywhere are talking about pick your plastic.
It doesn't make you shallow. There's if it makes you feel better, then you should do it.
As long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
Pick your plastic means to me a whole new me if I won.
Start a whole new you at 93.3FLZ.com. Keyword plastic.
Sometimes me eating a piece of cake makes me feel better. But getting it sucked out would be better.
Awesome.
I was going to ask you this. Eric Chase is obviously, you know, legendary and whatnot, and a lot mm-hmm. of people look up to him. But I wanted to focus more on you. But I was going to ask you, tell me one thing about Eric Chase that nobody else knows.
Eric does not think he's as good as everybody else thinks.
Okay.
He's a very, very humble person, and you could tell him. You know, you could walk up to him and say, oh, my God, Eric Chase, oh, my God, it's so great to meet you, you know, and he'll say, it's just radio, man. You know, he's just, he's one of my best friends, and I think still one of the people I look up to the most, specifically for his humble nature.
That's cool. I got to get into this, because this is, for me, as being sort of a, you know, I love music, but I'm also the nerdy, techie guy, too. You have a good relationship with the electronic artist BT.
Yeah, we've become friends over the last couple of years.
Tell me about him and your relationship, and you know what you guys have you done anything professionally together or?
No, but that is my dream.
Sure,
I mean that would be amazing. We haven't. I forget how we met actually. I know he played a couple of shows for our station for FLZ back. In like 2002 or 2003.
When was it when like Somnambulist? How do you say that?
Yeah, Somnambulist. Yeah,
that was a pretty big hit for him on Top 40.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. And he did that show or he played our show and he did a live version of that with his Laptop Symphony. It was the first time I had ever seen anything performed like that with all the parts. Just, it was like this live remix. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And the people in the crowd, I've never seen people go this crazy over a dance song. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And so I think at that point I was just like, I remember actually I was really nervous to meet him, and our promotions director, she goes, come on in, I'll meet him. And I walked in and I just didn't know what to say. And I just kind of had this stupid cheesy grin on my face. And she said, BT, meet your biggest fan. And I just went, hi. And I felt like a complete idiot. But anyway, later on, after he came to town several times and had played a few shows, we just kind of exchanged some emails and I sent him some work and, you know, and we just kind of discussed some nerdy techie things because we were both giant tech geeks.
Mm-hmm. So. I was going to ask you if you've seen his iPhone app, Sonify?
Yeah, I got it when it came out, and I was playing it on an airplane on the way to New York or something. And I felt like an idiot because I was sitting there, like shaking this phone and like, I mean, it looks like I'm completely angry with my iPhone to everybody else around me, you know, but it's a lot of fun.
Do you know, just to get a little nerdy or whatever, the effect that he's doing there, you know, that sort of stutter effect, mm-hmm. whatever you want. Is there an easy way for producers like me to make that happen right now? In like Pro Tools, I'm saying, or?
In Pro Tools, well, I'll say in Transfuser, they have this, there is a plugin inside Transfuser called Beat Cutter.
Okay.
And it kind of does that. It's like it kind of slices things up on a gate, on a grid, and you can trigger it with your keyboard.
Okay.
And, or set it to happen like on 16th notes or 8th notes. And that's pretty close. It's not as intricate as his, but it works. And then another one is inside Ableton Live. They have a plugin called Beat Repeat, which is really cool.
Cool. If anybody is completely unaware of what we were talking about, I mean, I hope most people listening to this have at least heard of BT, but it's a really cool effect. And if you want to spend, what is it, like $5 on the iPhone?
Yeah, it's like $4.99 or something.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into electronic music at all, you're going to like the app. At least like it, if not love it. And if you're into producing stuff and you like to see how it kind of works, I mean, it's just a lot of fun. It's called Sonify. It's a fun app.
Yeah, and it's he's supposedly going to expand it for more than just that one particular song.
Yeah.
So he kind of wants it to be a mobile remixing platform at some point.
Yeah, that's where maybe you can even add your own.
I don't know. I think that would be a really cool option.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's coming at some point.
What is it you want me to say?
Madonna, FLCID, take 4.
I mean, this is one of my pet peeves. I just find that it's just so annoying,
but
you know.
You know, you agreed to do it, and it's just 3 letters. I mean, that's all we want you to say, FLZ. That's it. That's all we want you, 3 letters, FLZ.
Thanks. Why didn't you write it down?
Oh, God. Seriously.
Jerk.
Tampa Bay's hit music channel.
The station everyone is talking about. 93.3. Talking about.
FLZ.
Thank you.
Yo, this all?
Hi, this is Joe, and you're listening to...
I wanted to elaborate a little more on the voiceover, because we do have quite a few people that are in the voiceover business. When you got that gig with MTV, and then you get your agent at Atlas, were there certain things that you did to really advance yourself in the voiceover world that you would recommend others do if they're in that world?
I got a voice coach because I wanted to really put a magnifying glass on areas that I needed help on, you know, and stuff that I knew I wasn't good at. And what better way to do that than to have somebody tell you that sucked?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and then tell you how to fix it.
Yeah.
And so I did, I got a voice coach and I'm really glad I did, you know, and it's a huge process. It's not like an overnight fix, you know, and like, you know, like people have, like he said to me, I'm going to beat the radio out of you, because a lot of people get that really sing-songy delivery in there, or that overly pukey, or they think they have to shout.
Yep.
And that's kind of ingrained in us growing up. If you've started in radio, that's ingrained in you.
To be a successful voiceover artist, it seems like radio is about the worst thing you can do to yourself.
You know, it is. It is hard to get out of that rut. That's for sure. Although it is good. It is good because radio is one of those few places that you can go and walk into a room and put yourself on the air without having to have an agent or without having to book a job. You know, if you happen to be the producer stuck in the in the chair that has to do their own voice work, it's a good place to experiment whether or not, you know. I mean, I sounded ridiculous when I started doing stuff on FLZ. But at least it was a place for me to experiment, and I knew what sucked and what didn't. So,
as far as radio imaging VO, are you doing a lot of that?
No, you know, I'm doing more TV and stuff now than radio.
Okay,
and I just don't have that big deep voice that a lot of radio stations seem to want.
Yeah, neither do I.
Not that I'm opposed to doing radio at all.
Yeah,
I just I don't book it.
Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead and put in a good word for me with Eric, because I am going to come to him and ask him for an interview. But I'm
he'll totally do it. Yeah.
It's going to be something special, though. You know, Frost was my 1 year anniversary. Fox was my first interview, so Chase has to be something
absolutely
big, right?
He's kind of the tip of the iceberg there.
So, as far as radio imaging production goes, what is the one thing you would tell people that they need to do to be successful?
Well, I think first and foremost is stay humble and always take advice. You know, I think Baz Luhrmann had said something about be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. And it really is true, because you're people will tell you stuff that you don't want to hear sometimes. But it's stuff that you need to hear. And I think anybody who goes out there and immediately thinks that they're the best thing ever is just is in for a rapid decline.
That's good to hear. I think people need to hear that. I need to hear that. So
I mean, I still like to hear, you know, I still want people to be honest
Yeah.
You know, I still want people to say, I don't know, I didn't like that. That didn't work. And I never go, oh, well, screw you. I've been doing it for a long time. You know, I never am that way. I'm always like, really? Okay, well, let me see how I can change that. Because
yeah,
I just think the only person you're really in competition with is yourself.
Yeah.
So
what's the best way? I want people to find you. I know you have your website and your company. Do you want them to just find you on your website?
Yeah, noisefreak.com. That's pretty much the only, or nickdaily.com, but it just forwards you to Noisefreak.
Okay.
So that's where I post some samples, and I have a blog there that I randomly and sometimes rarely update, but but you know, with some Pro Tools tips and tricks. And if you ever have Pro Tools issues or whatever and don't know where else to go and think maybe somebody might be able to help you in there, and post it. You know, if I can't help you, somebody might.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Nick. Anytime. The website's noisefreak.com. I'll put it on my website. I'll link it there. And I'll try and, I got tons of audio from you, but I'll try and grab some good extras from Nick here when we're done with the interview, and I'll post those on the website too.
Thanks, Ryan. I think this is awesome for people to go out and listen to some people rant about their careers and go, yeah, okay, I'm not the only one who's doing an uphill battle here. I think what you're doing is great.
Thank you. But thank you.
Thank you, Nick. No problem.
All right, one more time, thanks to Nick Daly. I appreciate his time, as always. I do everybody, and I've had the honor of talking with a lot of cool people. Hopefully you're still enjoying these. Some really cool guests coming up. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention? I played that Anticipation song from Nick. That was actually produced for the Orlando Magic. It was cut on their CD. I guess they had some sort of a theme song CD. Whatever. Anyway, it got cut on there. I mean, the dude's, you know, published music and everything. So I just wanted to make sure I gave proper credit to that Anticipation song. Don't forget, all sorts of great Nick Daly audio can be found on the website, podcast page, and then hit the expand the show notes section. There's some screen caps from some of his plugs and sessions there as well. A lot of cool bonus material for you to check out if you so desire. A couple things to hit up that I... my buddy Ian Sturgeon, I'll mention this. He's over there at Big Fish Worldwide. I'll always tell you about his, I think it's like $30 a month. You get weekly updates and multiple formats. I mean, if you're an independent producer, this is something that's really worth happening because it's a very good price, and I get it. And it's just quality stuff. But anyway, that's Ian at Big Fish Worldwide. He's also got a Christmas package he's launching. I don't know much about that yet, to be honest, but he gave me a link to a cool little YouTube video, so I posted that on my website, show notes, podcast page, ryanontheradio.com, so you can go check that out if you want and find out more about his Christmas package. If I get any sort of a special deal from Ian, I'll have that on the next episode. And I can tell you upcoming will be Jim Cutler, big, humongous, monster voice talent. He's out of New York, and he is everywhere, literally everywhere. If you're in another country besides the United States, then there's still a good chance you've heard this guy because he is just on everything, like I said. But that should be, I honestly already did the interview, and I'll be posting that within the next 2 weeks. And that should be really, really informative for those of us that are voice talent or are looking to become voice talent. And he also used to be a producer. He's an audio geek, just like me, just like you. You know, he was in the production room, I think, for something like 14 years, and maybe more. So yeah, he's got his chops there as well. But like I've said from the beginning with this, the crossover between voice talent and production talent is just so thick that it seems pretty obvious that I cover both pretty evenly, because typically if you're a producer, you're also wanting to be a voice talent, and if you're a successful voice talent, you once upon a time produced. So, you know, it's an easy crossover there. Hopefully you learned something. Anything else that I need to talk about? I think that I hit everything I was supposed to hit. If I didn't, I'll put it on the website, or I'll hit it in the Jim Cutler interview within 2 weeks. And if you have anything for me, maybe I didn't mention this already, if you've got a special deal, like you're a company or you've got a service or whatever, and you want to offer up something extra special for the listeners, send it to me. If I think it's worth it, I'll definitely put it out there for you. And, you know, we can all help each other out in this crazy crazy production world. If you've got guest requests, as always, hit me up on the email. The link is right there on the website, too. Everything's on the website. Everything you need to know. And I do appreciate all the emails. I try and respond to everybody because, you know, I'm just kind of facilitating this thing. So for now, until next time, I will say bye.
The producers. Send your questions, feedback, guest requests, love, and, of course, constructive criticism to show@RyanOnTheRadio.com. Episodes available through iTunes, other podcast sites, and RyanOnTheRadio.com. We thank our guests for their expertise and time. We thank you for listening.